Our scripture lesson this evening is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. Verse 13 in particular we'll reflect on in the sermon. I want to just read Romans 10, 1 through 13 for the sake of context. Then also, in just a moment, we'll be reading aloud together the answer to Westminster Shorter Catechism 106, which is in the back of the songbook 976 or on the screen here, as we reflect on the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer. First Corinthians 10, 1 through 13. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all drank the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. I hope we hear in those words not only a stern warning against a casual response to temptation, do not do as they did, but also a powerful promise that God will bless us if we seek his help against temptation. That's what we'll be considering this evening. Would you also answer with me question 106 of the Shorter Catechism, which asks about the sixth request that we're to make according to our Lord Jesus in the Lord's Prayer. What do we pray for in the sixth petition? In the sixth petition, which is, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we pray that God would either keep us from being tempted to sin or support and deliver us when we are tempted. Amen. Well, the old saying is, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission, right? We've probably all used that logic in a way of justifying something we wanted to do but couldn't possibly have secured permission for. And so we say, well, I can't get permission, so I'll do the thing and then seek forgiveness afterward. The way that works in our home sometimes is that one person throws away something that the pack rat would never have given permission to dispense with in the hopes of asking for permission for forgiveness later. You can figure out which is which in our home. But in a situation like that, harmless enough, right? There are certain things that we do, perhaps without seeking permission in the hopes of saying, well, I did this thing and here's why. But Christians have no business thinking this way on moral matters. We can't carry this otherwise harmless logic into the serious matters of the Christian life. According to the fifth petition, which we considered last time, confession and forgiveness is how we deal with sin already committed, but forgiveness may not be our plan for addressing unmet temptations. Right? We may not sin in order that God's forgiveness and his grace may abound to us, as Paul puts very plainly in Romans 6, verses 1 and 2. So there's a harmless way in which we can say, yeah, better to ask for forgiveness than for permission, but not when it comes to moral matters. We have to have a better plan for dealing with temptation and for the possibility of committing sin. So this is beautiful how Jesus lines up these petitions, right? When we sin, when we have committed sin, we become convicted of that sin, aware of it and convicted, we pray the fifth petition, forgive us our debts as we forgive those indebted to us. But against the possibility of future sin, we pray the sixth petition. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We can't reverse those. We can't switch them around. We can't look to the future and say, forgive me, Lord, I'm going to sin. We say, Lord, help me as I face the possibility of sin. So we want to consider this evening the arena of temptation and how to fight against it. We want to, first of all, evaluate temptation or try to understand what Jesus means when he says, lead us not into temptation. And then second, we want to consider how we pray with regard to temptation, first of all, to escape temptation, and second, to endure temptation. So first of all, let's evaluate temptation, that subject that Jesus is considering here in the sixth petition. We could say this, I think, about temptations. Temptations are situations demanding a decision in which our hearts are not locked in on the best option. There are situations demanding a decision in which our hearts are locked in on the right decision. We know what we should do. We're not even inclined to do something differently, and we proceed to do the thing that we ought to do. That's not really a temptation, is it? There are many things that, by God's grace, you are not tempted to do. And so that's not what Jesus is considering here. Temptations, instead, are situations demanding a decision in which our hearts are not locked in on the best option, in which our hearts are considering alternatives to what God says is the best option, the best decision. Temptations, we could say, are cravings to fulfill the flesh contrary to God's will. And so when phrased in these terms, temptations are really common, right? Temptations are as common as the air we breathe. Temptations come at us like waves breaking on the shore, right? There are sort of constant opportunities for us to not take the best option that God is setting before us. Every moment of the day, we face continuous subconscious micro temptations as we steward the moments of our day and make on-the-fly choices in thoughts, words, and actions. So in a certain sense, we're constantly facing temptations, but that's not exactly what Jesus is teaching us to pray about here. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus sees temptations as particularly trying moral dilemmas. So a temptation, we could say, is a moral dilemma at any level. But Jesus is saying we need to pray for relief from particularly trying moral dilemmas. In this sense, temptations are crises that arrest our attention and lure us to go down a path that leads us away from God. Temptations are potential disasters, assaults from the devil, forks in the road. If you've read John Bunyan's classic Pilgrim's Progress, you may remember the situation in which Christian and Hopeful are invited to turn off the path to see a silver mine from which they might load their pockets. Well, that is a temptation, right? That is a literal, in an allegorical sense, a fork in the road, right? To get off the path. So there's this dilemma. There's a choice that's being made in which the hearts of Christian and Hopeful are not fully latched on to the best decision. There's a fork in the road, a dilemma. And I think this situation illustrates every serious temptation, the kind that Jesus is teaching us to engage through prayer. You're sitting at your computer, and you feel a strong urge to look at pornography. You know what the right decision is. You know what God's will is, and yet your heart isn't locked in on that decision. And you're contemplating alternatives. You're contemplating what your heart in some way is craving, is desiring, the flesh of your heart is craving. Or in a conversation, you sense at the right spot in the conversation that you could score points by gossiping about another friend. You just got that right opportunity. So a certain person is brought up in a conversation and you think, if I can say something about that person, the person I'm talking with is going to kind of like it. That's a temptation. Right? Or you're at a friend's house and you're invited to abuse drugs or alcohol, and you know what God's will is, and yet there's part of you that says, yeah, maybe it wouldn't be so bad. These are the kind of things Jesus is teaching us to pray about. Each of these situations are crises. They're forks in the road. They're temptations. And we know our temptations, and we could give other examples. But the way that we respond to temptations is so important. Day by day, year by year, how we respond to temptations shape who we are. And so they're very important. Jesus says you must pray against temptation. Those forks in the road, those moral dilemmas in which your heart isn't fully locked in on the right option, you need to pray because you're not able to engage them alone. Right? Jesus says to his disciples, without me you can do nothing. Surely that's true in the face of temptations to which our hearts are already somewhat inclined. We've been sold out in a sense already from the inside by our own flesh. And so we need to pray against temptations. And the Westminster Shorter Catechism as a guide to the Word of God has done us a great help by saying to us there are actually two ways that we should pray against temptation. And so let's consider those as our next two points this evening. First of all, we should pray that we might escape temptation. We pray, in the words of the Catechism, that God would keep us from being tempted to sin or from being inordinately tempted to sin. Jesus prays in the high priestly prayer that his Father would keep us from the evil one. He doesn't pray that we should seal ourselves off from the world, but that we would be protected from overwhelming temptations in the world. So this is what we must do. First of all, we must pray that we could escape temptation, right? Because we know our weaknesses. We know how easy it is for us to give in. We know especially those temptations in which we have developed a track record of failing in the past. Lord, take these temptations away from me. Keep me from these situations in which I'm prone to fail. Right? So eluding temptation requires prayer, Jesus says. Pray, pray. Lead us, Father, not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So particularly in moments of weakness, we need to pray for escape from particular temptations. Listen to how David does that in Psalm 19, verse 13. David prays, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Keep them from me. Keep these temptations from me. And he gives an example in the next verse of Psalm 19. Now verse 14, he prays for purity of speech. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. David knows his heart. He knows the potential that his heart has to meditate, to think about the wrong things, things that would dishonor the Lord. He knows his inclination, presumably from the text here, to say things that weren't godly or to speak rashly and harshly. We have some examples of that when David, as a warrior, spoke rashly and came later to regret that. So we pray, keep us back from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Jesus, when the disciples were physically exhausted and spiritually weak, urged them to watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You see what Jesus is saying here? He says, I know you. I know that you're tired. I know that you're spiritually weak. I know that you have a desire to follow me, but your whole being doesn't always cooperate with that desire. And so you must pray and watch that you enter not into temptation. That's what Jesus is saying to us as well in the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer. It's a sign of Christian maturity and commitment to holiness when one prays for help in the moment of greatest temptation. And often that is, as Jesus notes here, when we're tired. A lot of marital conflicts happen, I think, late at night. I know, late at night. When you're tired, when you're just not as watchful, not as spiritually alert. Right? And you know other times in which you just less well equipped to fight the good fight. We need to pray. Pray about your fiercest temptations. Know yourself. Ask questions like, where are my greatest weaknesses? Where are those places in my life that the devil has an easier foothold in which he hoped to gain access into more of my life? Until we pray for mastery over these temptations, if we're honest, we're willingly submitting to them. Right? Until we are willing to do what Jesus says we must do to fight temptation, that is to stop and pray specifically against them, we have to admit, until we do that, we're willingly submitting to the temptation. And while we pray, we should develop a trusting relationship with someone who can help us. Right, Jesus is praying to the disciples, brothers together, fellow soldiers against Satan, trusting a relationship. Seek out someone who can help you. Right, Christian mentioned earlier, main character in Bunyan's story, he didn't travel to the celestial city alone. He sometimes did. And those were particularly troubling times for him also in terms of his staying on the path. He had helpers who kept him on the path. And so we need those helpers as well. We need to be willing to ask questions of those helpers. What do you think are my greatest temptations? What are some of my greatest areas of weakness? These are questions that you could ask within the context of a Christian family during family worship, before prayer? What are some temptations that we observe in this family that we can bring to the throne of grace now to ask the Lord to protect us against as a family, as individuals within the family? So pray for protection and walk with people who will help protect you. That's the first thing that we should do according to this the sixth petition. Pray that we would escape temptation, that the Lord would not lead us into temptation, that we wouldn't face those things which we are so prone to give into. But there's a second way that we should pray this sixth petition, and that is, our third point this evening, that we might endure temptation. There are times when God is pleased to lead us into powerful temptation. Now hear that as it's articulated. God tempts no one to sin. James is very clear to say in James 1 verse 13. God doesn't do the tempting. His desire in bringing us into those tricky places is not to trip us up, not to cause us to fail. He's not tempting us. He's not trying to get us to sin. But he does deliberately use moral trials to shape us into the image of Christ. And he's right to do so. Temptations, if we endure them, are like the flame that tempers the steel of a hammer, increasing its toughness, reducing its brittleness. I think, the image that we hear, or that we see rather, in Isaiah 43 verse 2, God is saying to his people, you're going to go through the flame, but it's not going to hurt you. It's going to harden, it's going to temper you. It's going to make you more fit to obey God. And so as we fight through the temptations that God is pleased to lead us into, they start to tug less powerfully on our hearts. And we begin to think and act more like Jesus. Just thinking now of some of the temptations into which God, in Bunyan's book, Christian Hopeful, were brought into. Eventually, Christian begins to fight more manfully against Apollyon, for example. Right? He begins to fight like a real soldier. He's brought in, you know, Apollyon tempts him to desert his master, his new master, the prince of that land, and Christian resists it, and he fights against Apollyon. He's beginning to think and act more like Jesus. He's enduring temptation. And so we mustn't pray only for escape. We must also pray for endurance in temptation. Support, the catechism says, support and deliver us when we are tempted. That's how we should pray, in the midst of temptation. The temptation is there, right? It's not the moment, perhaps, to say, Lord, keep me from temptation. It's already there. Now, Lord, you preserve me. Help me to endure this temptation. And when we pray like this in the midst of temptation, it can be like a splash of water on a drowsy face, waking us up. And when we are woken up, we can begin to think with greater spiritual clarity. We're already winning, aren't we, when we are praying in temptation. We are consciously coming before the face of God. Even when our hearts are wavering, we are coming before God and saying, Lord, I need your help. Help me to fight this temptation. And as we pray like this, hopefully we become more focused on three things. And we'll close with these three things as encouragements for praying in the midst of temptation, that we would endure them. First of all, in the midst of temptation, remember God's promise. Listen to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, which we read earlier this evening. with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Sin is not inevitable. We need to remember that. That's a promise of God. When we are in the midst of hard temptations, we begin to think, well, it's only a matter of time. You know, I feel the tug and I know what I've done before, and so I'll surely have to give in again. It's inevitable. Sin is not inevitable. With the temptation, he will provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Right? The Apostle Paul says, listen, don't do all of these things that our predecessors did. Don't be idolaters. Don't engage in sexual immorality. Don't put Christ to the test. Don't grumble. But you will be tempted to. And when you are, don't assume sin is inevitable. There's a promise that God gives to his children. The Lord will give you a way in which you can endure. Listen to Hebrews 2, verse 18. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Christ is able to help you in your temptation. Remember that when you're praying in the midst of temptation. Number two, in the midst of temptation, remember Christ's prayers. Jesus is teaching us to pray here, mindful of his prayers for us. Remember, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane says to his disciples, including Peter, watch and pray that you be not tempted. But he also says to Peter, he forewarns him that Satan was going to rattle his faith with great fury. Luke 22, verse 31. Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. But Jesus also says to Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith will fail not. You hear what Jesus is saying? Peter, I'm going to be with you in this temptation, and I'm going to be with you through this temptation. Words to Peter reflect the prophecy in Amos chapter 9, verse 9. For surely I will command and will sift the house of Israel among all nations as grain is sifted in a sieve, yet not the smallest grain shall fall to the ground. Christ always is praying for our holiness. And so when we're in the midst of temptation and the Lord gives us the ability to pray, Lord, help me not to sin, help me not to fail, our prayers are going to feel weak. You know, when we pray that the Lord would help us to fight against a temptation, a certain temptation, we may sometimes be praying half-heartedly, right? I kind of want to do this thing, but Lord, help me. I don't want to do it either. The Lord Jesus is not praying half-heartedly. He's praying with his whole heart. He's praying with the passion of the Godhead. He's praying with the knowledge of what we're going through because he himself has gone through it as well. He's praying with a demonstration of his wounds before his Father. And so, in the midst of temptation, remember Christ's prayers. And then finally, in the midst of temptation, remember God's plan. Temptations are part of God's plan for our purification. Paul's thorn in the flesh tempted him to grumble and to despair, but God graciously made Paul a better man because of the trial, as he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It's part of the plan to make Paul depend upon the strength of God rather than his own strength. James chapter 1 verse 12 says this, blessed is the man who endures the temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. When we are tempted, we should remember God's plan to purify us through temptation, never thinking that the Lord has abandoned us because we feel the pull of sin. Christians, as Paul says in Romans 13, verse 14, make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Instead, we pray. We pray that we may escape and endure temptation. And we fight to live consistently with that prayer. Let's ask for God's help in doing just that, even in the week to come. Lord, we come to you as weak people. We have worn deep trenches in our history of dealing with certain temptations. We have made well-worn paths of disobedience, and those paths have become familiar perhaps, and the possibility of walking properly in those times of temptation seems and feels remote. We pray that we would not give in, that we wouldn't give up, that we would fight against temptation by praying in fellowship with the Holy Spirit through the blood of our Savior, trusting you, Almighty God, to help us in our weakness. We pray that we would not make provision for the flesh to satisfy its desires, that we would never sin so that grace would abound, that we would reject this option in the realm of morality, that it's better to ask forgiveness than permission. We pray, Lord, that you would help us when we cry out to you to remember your promises and the prayers of Jesus and your plan to temper us through temptations. And so give us a confidence not in ourselves, but in you as we face trials this week. And you know what they are, the ones that we'll face. And help us to face them boldly, walking with Jesus in the well-worn path of obedience that he has put in front of us. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.